If you're a small business owner, an entrepreneur, run marketing for a small business, or fall somewhere in between, you know it can be a challenge to succeed on social media. On the one hand, you have a business to manage, and on the other, you want that business to grow and flourish. And although you know that social media has the power to be an important part of your overall marketing strategy, there's tons of completely valid reasons why it never quite happens. Time, resources, energy, knowledge, the list goes on.
Holy cow. You know, I've got 3 kids and I've got my parents and a pet and all of these other responsibilities, and I'm supposed to be on all these social channels and running my business and writing these emails. That's why I'm a big fan, Haley, of less is more.
That's Marie Forleo, and I can't tell you how excited we are to have her on the podcast this week. Marie, as you may already know, founded and hosts an award-winning show called Marie TV, develops world-class online training programs, and has published a book in 16 languages. She's been helping small businesses rock their online marketing strategies with incredible success for more than 15 years. I'm Haley Griffiths, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer. Whether you're just starting out on social media or you've been using social for years, today you'll learn the best practices that thousands of businesses have used to succeed online. Thank you so much for joining us on The Science of Social Media today, Marie.
Oh, it's my honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
For anyone who doesn't know Marie, she is the creator and host of the award-winning show Marie TV, which I personally love, and she's the founder of the online business training school, B-School, which I have also been a part of. So Marie has done amazing things in the marketing world, and I think she's going to have lots to share with us today. So Marie, before we start talking about how small businesses can plan a social media strategy from scratch, let's start with your own business. The first business that you ran, if I have this correct, it was your own life coaching business.
Yes.
And so how did you get started with marketing that right off the bat?
Well, it's good to give people a little context in terms of timing. So that was way, way back in the day of 1999 and 2000. And in those days, I started, and it was actually the foundation, which still is the foundation today, which was content and email marketing. And this is really funny. So back in those days, I would actually carry around a yellow legal pad and have people sign up for my email list manually, because that's what it is. Creating landing pages and having like opt-in forms and all of that stuff was still fairly brand new. There was nothing drag and drop. So content marketing, email marketing, that is how I started marketing my business. I also coached a lot of people for free just to really provide an experience for folks so they knew I could help them create results. And honestly, it was a chance for me to build my confidence, because I was starting my business as a 23-year-old life coach, which is pretty ballsy, to be honest with you. And I don't know what I was thinking, but I was so passionate about helping people create results. And I also really needed to get over my own insecurities. And then I'd say word of mouth was one of the other ways I marketed that business, which again, still valid to this day, one of the most valuable. And of course, you know, we'll talk about how social media can support that in a few minutes. But for me, it was nonstop hustle. It was always looking for ways to share about how I could support people. And sometimes I would do that at cocktail parties. Sometimes I would do that at my side jobs, you know, anywhere I could possibly have a conversation with folks to see if I could provide value, I did it.
I love it. I love the image of you running around with this yellow legal pad, like ready to collect email addresses.
Yes. And I did. I was pretty shameless about it. I'll tell you, I bartended, you know, as one of my side gigs, because again, I didn't know how to run a business. I didn't have a trust fund. I was thousands of dollars in debt. So bartending and waiting tables at night was what I did to support myself for many years. And inevitably at bars, people would ask, you know, well, what else do you do? Because most people, and again, I actually do know people who are career bartenders, and they absolutely love it because that's their passion. But a lot of folks assumed that I wanted to do something else, and they were right. So I would tell them about my online newsletter, which, Haley, you're going to probably laugh at this. I named my newsletter at the time. It was called Magical Moments. That's where I started. And I would tell them like, hey, I send out these weekly articles. Do you want to get them? And they said, yeah. And so I'd take their name down on my yellow legal pad and go sign them up for my list.
That's amazing. Everyone starts somewhere. Everyone starts somewhere. And so at what point, so you started with content and email leading into some word of mouth. When did social media really start fitting in there?
Social media didn't start fitting in until it actually became a thing. So again, taking it back in the day, you know, back in the early 2000s, social media didn't even really exist. So it wasn't until Twitter and Facebook really came on the scene that I started using it. And I remember even feeling a little bit ambivalent, like a little bit just like, oh, what's this Twitter thing when it first came out? And I had one or two friends who were super into it and, you know, got me on the train. But that's when I started playing and experimenting with social media. And shortly after that, you know, YouTube started to become a thing. And it was around that time, you know, which we'll get to, about 2010 or 2011, when I started using YouTube and creating Marie TV.
Yes. Awesome. So now you help other entrepreneurs run successful businesses with your B School program, which we mentioned at the beginning, and you teach them these online marketing strategies. Yes. How important is social media marketing for your students and clients now, now that it's, you know, 2017 and social is kind of taking over the internet?
Yeah, well, I would say that it is absolutely a part of the mix for probably 90 to 95% of modern business owners. And certainly that's true for our B Schoolers as well. I think it is definitely an essential part of your marketing mix. And I'm excited because I think as this conversation goes on, I want to just help people start to parse through what they need to do and what they don't need to do. I will say that one of the advantages that I have because I started my online business pre-social media is that I have the perspective of what it's like to do things simply. And I also have the perspective now of this world where it's not just one platform, right? We're looking at many, many different opportunities. And I think probably, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, Hallie, because you know a lot of your listeners and your audience and your customers, a lot of folks are just overwhelmed. They don't know where to start because there's so many options and that can be paralyzing. So I think that social media needs to be a part of your marketing mix. And as we continue on our conversation, what I want to do is help people not let them get it, not let social media overwhelm them. So it just takes over every bit of their marketing because it doesn't have to.
Yes, I absolutely agree that people can feel so overwhelmed with social media. We hear that a lot at Buffer too, where people start using social and they're like, so do I have to be on everything? And we're like, no, you have the option. That does not mean that you have to be on everything.
Yes.
Well, huge. I think we've left people hanging long enough. Let's go through and let's walk through how you would plan a social media strategy right from scratch. So specifically for small business owners. To kick us off, when you start thinking of a social media strategy, where does your mind go first? What's the most important factor?
I think it's important for us to make the distinction here between a general ongoing social media strategy for your brand and a social media campaign for a specific purpose. So for example, let's say you wanted to craft a social media campaign to support a specific sales promotion, right? You're reaching a specific goal that's time bound, like selling tickets, or maybe it's, you know, boosting sales, doing a special promotion, selling books. If that's the position you're in, here's what I'd suggest. Get really clear on the desired outcome, know your timeline, and then you can reverse a social campaign from there, meaning reverse engineer one. So you're looking at your end goal, what you want to accomplish, you're looking at that end date, and looking at what you have in between, and starting to think about how many different tactical strategies can you implement that make sense. So maybe it's contests, maybe it's some live streaming video on a certain social channel like Facebook Live or YouTube. Maybe there's hashtags or tagging or sharing, or maybe it's about finding other social media influencers to partner with on certain posts or quote cards or articles or videos, all that support you in reaching that one desired time-bound outcome, right? So if I was thinking about crafting that kind of social media campaign, what I would do is really know my outcomes and then start brainstorming all the different possibilities and then start getting them into a calendar. Obviously using, could use a tool like Buffer to help you do that, to help you map it out, strategize it, and execute it. Conversely, though, if it's an ongoing social media strategy for your overall business, I think the first place for people to start is to really get clear on what platform you're choosing to be on, what you want to accomplish there, and why you really want to be on that thing. And you got to get honest with yourself, because any platform that you're going to engage upon and that you're going to start creating content and engaging with your potential customers or your audience on, it's going to take time and effort and energy and resources if you're going to do it right. So again, a really good question to ask, why do you want to be on that platform? What are the specific business reasons that are going to commit you for time and energy and resources to be there? I think that one thing a lot of small business owners don't fully think about is that any social media platform you're on becomes an open channel for customer service. People will ask you questions there. And yes, from time to time, they're probably going to complain too. So that's why I like people to step back and really think through why they want to be there and make sure they have a method for either themselves or someone on their team to sweep that social media channel on a regular basis so you don't create a customer service nightmare or a PR nightmare for yourself unnecessarily.
Totally agree. This is great. And so I love how you've defined general social strategy and also campaign. So if someone has a specific goal coming up, let's say they're doing some sort of spring or summer promotion and they're trying to get a specific number of people to sign up to attend or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they can do a social media campaign if they don't have a real strong social media presence yet on the rest of their profiles?
That's a great question. And you know, the answer is really, it depends. It depends on your execution. So for example, let's say you're someone who doesn't necessarily have a strong presence on Facebook, right? But you feel like your ideal customers are on Facebook. That's a place where you can reach them. If you're willing to spend a little bit of money in terms of advertising and targeting, you know that you can be very, very specific about who you're reaching. As long as you're creative, meaning the posts that you share, the copy that you write, the imagery or the videos that you create is in this sense of generosity and true service and looking to help the folks that you want to promote your promotion to, you know, like there's got to be something in it for them. I think if it's handled in the right way and executed properly, where there really is generosity baked in, there really is value that's being given, I think you could pull it off. But what I think a lot of people, where they fall down, is if they're not experienced with a platform or they don't have a following on there yet, to just go on with a megaphone, like pay attention to me, buy my stuff, pay attention, look at how important I am. You really need this. You really want this. It's just like walking into a cocktail party and being a used car salesman. It's not going to work. It's going to fall down. So, you know, with everything, and Haley, you know this because you've been a B schooler, you are a B schooler. My philosophy when it comes to business is always create value, build up that trust over time, and have patience. Because when you do that and you've created value and you give generously, when you do have a special promotion coming out, people are excited about it because they know you. They know you as someone who is looking out for their best interest. They know you as someone who's not just trying to make a quick sale and get in there like one and done. You're not transaction-based, you're trust-based. So I don't know if that helps answer your question. I think if you're going to go into any platform and you're a little bit cold, you've got to be really good when it comes to your copy and to the real underpinnings of your campaign and make sure you're delivering real value in addition to what you're asking of folks.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. Totally agree with that. So once you've kicked off this idea, you're gonna start a social media strategy, you're deciding if you're going to do general strategy or if you're going to do a campaign, you're starting to figure out what can you offer people, where are your people living online, how do you start creating content?
Yes. So this is the other big thing that would be helpful in this respect. I suggest for people to choose one, maybe two platforms to really dominate, right? I know we mentioned this a little bit before, but it bears repeating because most of us, our eyes and our appetites are bigger than our capabilities when it comes to social. Like, we're going to do live streaming. We're going to do YouTube videos. Then we're going to do all this stuff on Instagram. And we're going to do a whole thing on Twitter. And we're going to do a whole thing on Snapchat. And you never actually have time for your business. So when you're thinking about creating content, really think about how can you leverage your strengths? Some of us are better at writing, right? So blogging and anything that's a text-based form, like you can do great posts on Facebook, you can obviously do some great posts on Instagram that are word-based. Think about leveraging your strengths of writing if that is a strength for you. Conversely, let's say you love to talk and audio is a thing, like we're on a podcast right now. Maybe podcasting, which is a form of social media, I consider to be the medium for you. When you're thinking about creating content, make it easy for yourself. Leverage your strengths. Start creating content in the format that is most natural to you and where you feel like you can get the most speed, the most traction, and create a lot, because it becomes easy then, Haley, to start to transfer, or I'd say almost transform that content into different forms. So for example, if you're doing a podcast, you get those podcasts transcribed. Those can become blog posts. You can put little sound clips on SoundCloud. You can put little sound clips almost everywhere. You can take those sound clips and turn them into little videos that can be on Instagram or be on YouTube or whatever. So I think it's about aligning your strengths with the modality and the type of content that you can most easily create, getting good at that. And then if you're going to build a team around you or have freelancers help you, you can start to take some of that content and translate it into different forms. So another example from our business with Marie TV, we create our content in video form, but then we'll extract quotes and quote cards that we can use on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever we're posting other things on social. So it becomes a way for us to take one piece of content and kind of break out many different other pieces of content to share in our social channels through one initial piece.
That's an amazing way to optimize it. And especially if you're a small business, or maybe even you're only one person and you're running around trying to figure out how to do all of this, it helps to be able to repurpose everything.
Yes. And to look at how to create micro content from a bigger piece of content. And I think the other thing that most people don't give as much credence to is, you know, if you create a really amazing piece of content, maybe it's a podcast, maybe it's a blog post, promote that thing. And you can promote it a lot, because one of the things about social is feeds move so fast. Not everyone who follows you is going to see it. And you know this, right? I mean, when it comes to Facebook, we adore Facebook for all of their targeting capabilities and so many of the cool things we can do from an ad perspective. But when it comes to organic reach, I mean, come on, right?
Yeah.
That's dramatically. That was like one of the biggest and switches in history. They really just championed us to grow these huge pages of fans with thousands of people that really want to hear from our business. And guess what? Now you can't reach them unless you pay for the privilege. So you've got to be smart about it. You've got to really pay attention. And I think that's the other reason too. Well, again, I know we are championing social media and it's a really important thing. I would emphasize to every business owner listening, do not forget your email marketing list. That is one of the biggest assets you have in your company. And it's one of the places that a lot of business owners fail to put any energy and effort because they get too focused on social and they forget about email.
Yes. And this is something that I've heard you say so many times and that I just stand by, especially because of what's happened with Facebook. Yeah. But I think it's the same for Twitter. You know, Twitter's future has been uncertain. I personally love Twitter, but there's all these articles that go around all the time saying, is Twitter dead? So if you were trying to diversify your audience and say, build it on Facebook and Twitter, like maybe neither of those are working now. So you have to have something that you own.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing we talk about all the time in B-School. And I will have people rail against me. They're like, no, Marie, you know, I just want to build my Instagram following. Oh my God. And I'm like, look, I love those things. I think they're awesome. But for me, I want to empower small business owners and give them as much control and power as possible. And that means you want to own the relationship with your prospects and your customers. And email, for as many people as that, oh, email's dead. Email marketing, it is not dead. It's alive and kicking. So I think that there can be this beautiful blend where you have a really strong email marketing game and you have a really strong social game, one that works for you. And just like we were talking about a few minutes ago, if you're not trying to spread yourself too thin across, you know, seven different social media platforms, but you choose one or two that align with where your ideal customers are actually hanging out and they align with your strengths and your joy. You know, if you don't find Twitter enjoyable, Haley, I love that you said that. You're like, I actually really enjoyed Twitter. For someone who doesn't, it's like, don't be on there. That's a horrible use of your time. It's going to drain you. Find a social platform. There's enough of them where you actually can enjoy yourself and express some creativity while you engage with your ideal customers.
Absolutely. Don't go on all these places if you don't like them, because it takes up so much of your time. It definitely does.
Yes.
And so we've talked about content. I love the idea of repurposing content and making micro content. And if you have a newsletter, if you have an email marketing list, that can be repurposed on social too. How do you balance now? Because social media isn't just putting content out into the world. It's talking to these people who are on this network that you really want to connect with. So how do you balance creating content and getting it out there and engaging with these people that could be your, you know, your next customers?
Yes, I think it's such a great question. And it's an ongoing evolution. It's an ongoing balance that we have to strike. So I will tell you this, in our business, what we do is my customer happiness team, one of the things that their responsibility is to sweep our social channels. And they don't reply as me. We actually have Team Forleo accounts so that when someone brings up an issue or they're just saying hi or whatever, they want to comment on something and have a conversation, that it's not just left out there hanging, that someone responds. Now for me, and this is my particular choice, transparency and authenticity is just really important. Those are my values. So if you ever see me responding on social, that's me. But Team Forleo responds not as me, but as them on my behalf, if that makes sense. So if someone has a question or they're curious about something or they want to get in touch with us, someone on our team will respond. I think that one of the challenges, quite frankly, that exists in this world is when you're just solo on your own, and you're just starting out and you don't have a team, that's another reason that you have to be really conscious about how many channels that you're on.
I love this. I love that you mentioned that you're not on social media and on your phone all that much. I feel like one day I'm going to have a whole follow-up episode for you on this.
It's actually really fun because I know one of the challenges, and I understand this. You know, we're in this brand new world and technology continues to advance almost faster than we can evolve. And I think that in many ways, social media is such a gift because it allows us to connect with people and have real-time conversations and express our creativity. And there's all these beautiful things that come along with it. But I think we cannot be ignorant to the downside. We cannot turn a blind eye to the comparison sinkholes. I call it when people are doing shots of compare schlager, right? They're scrolling on their social media feeds. They're seeing their competitors or other businesses and just feeling like they're failing. I also think that you need to do your business. You actually have to deliver value. The core business of your business is not social media for many people, unless you're selling social media services. Then that's where you should be spending your time. But for many other people, if it's jewelry or candles or a restaurant, you know, you have to create systems for yourself that might involve batching your time, saying like, okay, for on Tuesday mornings, you know, from 10 to 12, I'm scrolling my social feeds, I'm putting out stuff, I'm responding to people, I'm, you know, engaging. And then when that time is over, I'm done. And then I'm moving on to other discrete, important business functions that will really move the needle ahead. So for each of us, it's going to be different. But I do think it's important that we remember that we're in control of technology. The technology is not in control of us.
Absolutely. That's so well said. I completely agree. And I think this is probably something that a lot of small businesses deal with and get overwhelmed with, is they have so many things on the go. Maybe they're managing an email list and a Shopify store and their social media. And there are probably so many notifications popping up on their phone.
Yep.
To get back to what we were chatting about earlier, I think that having the @TeamForleo handle on Twitter is a really, really great solution for you. And this leads well into something else that I wanted to talk about. So you've delegated that part of social media, of course, because you've got to this point in your business where you can have other people handle this. Yes. And I think something a lot of other small businesses think about is, when should they delegate? You know, they're new, they might not be experts at this. At some point, it might not be worth their time anymore. So what are some ways that they can start thinking about that? When should they delegate?
I think one of the things you need to do is to step back and ask yourself, what do you want to delegate? So for a lot of people that I've encountered, it's like, oh, I just want someone else to handle that whole social media marketing thing for me. It's like, you know, hold on a second. You know, do you want someone to create content for you? Are you wanting someone to post for you? Are you wanting someone to do the customer service aspect? So I think it's important, rather than to just say, I need to delegate this, is to slow down and to parse through, what exactly would you like to delegate? What are the pieces that are causing you some stress? You know, why do you want to be on that platform in the first place? Is it really worth your time and energy? Or are you just getting kind of sucked into this social notion that you must be there, and if you're not there, that your business is going to fail, which you know is not true. And I would also caution people to tread lightly, because having someone else create your content and do your marketing, unless someone is a really good marketer, it might be a waste of money. You know, a lot of people could argue about this with me, but unless someone really understands who your ideal customers are, their fears, their frustrations, their dreams and aspirations, you don't want to just fill your social channels with stuff just because that's what you're supposed to do. I think you need to have a really clear strategy, and I think you need to move slowly and surely. You need to test someone out not just hire them and start paying like this huge monthly fee for them to just do everything and take it off your hands. I think that's really dangerous. And it's a way that people not only waste a lot of money, but don't really get the ROI that they were hoping for.
Definitely. That makes so much sense. And in your case, you held on to a lot of the marketing. And as you moved ahead, what was the first thing that you started delegating? Was it customer service?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it still is. To be completely transparent, I love marketing. I do all of our marketing. I mean, the strategy, writing copy, everything. I'm still involved on a daily basis in everything that comes out of our company. But for me, especially when I first started my business as a one-person show, which by the way, I stayed a one-person show for like 5 years. My first hire was an assistant, and it was for customer service because that was the place, you know, back in the day selling my first ebook, my first digital product. If someone was having trouble downloading it or a link or anything like that, it was the easiest place for me to be able to train other humans to say, oh, this is how we want to treat our customers. This is how you do it in a way that's kind and compassionate and makes people feel empowered. So I'd say, yes, customer service is probably the easiest place to delegate. And it's also one of the easiest places to have people support you on social media.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Well, it's very cool to hear that you were a one person, you know, marketing team for all things Marie Forleo for the first 5 years. Well, and still are so involved.
Yes.
So it is possible. It is possible to be this like one person small business running all of your own marketing and running your business at the same time.
I do. I do think it's possible, but I do want to caution this and I want to make it really realistic. You have to also contextualize this. Okay. So what we have in B School, I have people from teenagers all the way up to folks in their 70s. What I don't want to have happen is anyone on this that's listening to this podcast right now start to feel guilty because they're like, holy cow, you know, I've got 3 kids and I've got my parents and a pet and all of these other responsibilities and I'm supposed to be on all these social channels and running my business and writing these emails. That's why I'm a big fan, Haley, of less is more. I would rather see a business owner crush it with like their email marketing and like one social channel rather than trying to be superhuman, do it all and constantly feel like a failure. So I think less is more. Choose one, maybe two platforms to dominate and always go for quality over quantity. It is way better to have a few posts that are really meaningful and important rather than trying to fill your stream constantly with stuff just because you feel like that's what you need to do in order to be effective. It's not.
Wow. This is such an important message. I think that guilt and social media are something that people don't even realize they get pulled into.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, can we just talk frankly about this?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
They're designed to be addictive. There are teams of really smart, amazing humans, designers and engineers all over the world whose only job is to make these platforms more addictive. They want you in their apps as much as humanly possible. And I'm not making them wrong for that because, hey, look, we're all business owners, right? So that's not making them wrong, but it also, we need to have a little bit of perspective on this. So you recognize that social media is a tool that you can use, but you cannot let it use you. You cannot let these screens dominate your emotions and your feelings and take you off track from having a meaningful business and life. So yes, I do believe it's possible that as a solo business owner that you can create a profitable, sustainable, enjoyable business, but I think it requires a lot of discipline, a huge amount of self-awareness, and some rules and bumpers in place so you don't get sucked into the social media sinkhole and get yourself taken off track.
Absolutely. I just want to clap. I totally agree. I found myself personally getting sucked into this in my personal life. And I had this moment where I was like, well, why do I need to be on Instagram? If that's not where I want to be, then I shouldn't even be there. And I think that this just kind of goes across the board for everyone using social. Like, don't let it overwhelm your life.
Yes. And again, you can do it. I feel like it's really about balance, but it is about having your eyes wide open and understanding that we as consumers of social media and users of social media to each platform, we are their commodity. Our attention is what they're trying to build. The more of us that are on these platforms, the bigger their IPOs are, the more eyeballs they have so they can charge more for advertising. Hey, for business owners like us to advertise and reach our customers. And that none of this is a bad thing. Again, I'm not making it wrong. I just think it's really, really important that we understand the landscape and we engage accordingly.
Wow. Thank you so much, Marie. This has been You've had so much amazing knowledge in here. I'd love to end this episode, and you've shared so many great things, but just with three takeaways for entrepreneurs and small businesses who are just getting started with their social marketing, what are three things that they can start to implement immediately to start rocking it with their social marketing?
Okay, less is more. Remember, less is more, quality over quantity. So allow yourself the freedom to focus on maybe one platform or maybe two, and do it from a place of joyful creation. Have fun with it. Number two, what you can do in terms of takeaways is think about, is this a long-term social media campaign that you want to develop? A long-term kind of brand social that you want to do? Like, what's going to be, how many times am I going to post on this per week about? Is that going to be good for me? Is this really helped me reach my goals? Or do I need to create a social media campaign for a specific end purpose? So I think understanding the difference is really, really important. And then number three is to continuously set boundaries and bumpers for yourself as to when you engage in social. And I will give everyone one tip that I think has really helped me, and it can probably help them as well. When it comes to social on your phone, if you don't want to be addictive and you don't want to constantly check things and you want to help yourself be as productive and inspired and fulfilled as possible, don't put social media icons on your home screen. Make yourself swipe at least 3, 4, maybe 5 screens in. That few seconds helps you stop an addictive habit and helps you become conscious. Is this the best use of my time right now? Do I really want to go onto my social feeds and engage with folks? The answer might be yes and it might be no, but not putting things on your home screen gives you a chance to break that addictive habit, and it helps you engage more consciously and mindfully when you are on social.
Thank you so much, Marie. This has been such a wonderful chat. I feel like this is going to be so powerful for our audience, and I can't wait for them to give it a listen.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. It was a joy.
A huge thank you to Marie for sharing all of these awesome and actionable social media insights for small businesses. You can check out more of Marie Forleo's work at marieforleo.com. That's MarieForleo.com, where she also has episodes of Marie TV, and you can get more valuable insights just like on today's show. Relive all of the fun quotes and moments from this show at buffer.com/podcast. Thanks for joining us for another interview. Please stop by on social media and let us know what you think. Use the hashtag BufferPodcast. We're at Buffer pretty much everywhere on social media. And you can reach out to me, Haley Griffiths, as at Haley Marie, that's HaileyMari, on Twitter. And I'd love to chat with you there. Until next week, here's to the incredible small businesses everywhere.